Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. Okay. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
Doing fantastic, man.
Awesome. I've had better weeks. I'm going through an audit and my mom fell and broke her arm, so go figure. It's just been great going. But anyways, we had some big announcements. We got our t-shirts in, our new styles. We're going to be uploading some photos of those hopefully soon. I think we've put up the jersey tee by this point, so you guys have seen the baseball jersey tee, but we'll put up the other ones that we got in, so those will be cool. Our other big announcement is you probably won't notice, but we changed hosting companies, which are going to give us a bunch of new stuff. So what are some of the features that we're going to be getting, Aaron?
The main thing that people should know is that we worked on some apps, and so if you have an Apple device or an Android device or a Windows phone, in about a month or so, there will be an app that will be the Generation Y podcast app.
That's cool.
Yeah. The interesting thing about this is so far, everyone's probably using whatever app they have. I know Apple has an app. Android has a number of apps. I think the Windows phone is that sort of an app graveyard or something. I don't know. But anyway, with this, the new apps, people will be able to not only get episodes from us, but they can get other things from us. We could send them stuff. We can send them images. We can send them news updates. So right now it's pretty much, if you're on Facebook, you're getting our updates. And if you listen to the show, you get some of the updates because sometimes we mention them before the show starts. But if you get the app, you'll be able to really connect with the show. So there'll be more information on that forthcoming.
Cool. And our website has changed also. You can go back and find our early episodes fairly easy now on the website, which I thought was pretty cool. But all your comments are gone. Sorry about that.
Well, it's a fresh start.
Yeah.
So, and it'll be, and that's one of the complaints we had with the other site, is finding the old episodes was, well, it was difficult. You know, that's being kind.
Difficult.
The new site, it's very easy to go through all of the episodes and find what you're looking for. If you're looking for news updates and things or where to buy shirts, trust me, we're working on getting all that stuff back in a whole new way. So just bear with us as we transition here.
So tonight, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight, switching things up again. It's a missing plane case.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I think we chose this one is because it's a bit different. It it's actually the kind of case where you may not have heard of it. So some of you have, many of you haven't, but at the center of a case is a man named Ben Padilla. And he was supposed to work on this plane because it had sat idle for over a year, and the company that owned it was getting it flight ready again. So that's just the basics of it. But this is a plane that goes missing, and it's also about a man who goes missing. So it's sort of a double mystery, I guess you could say.
Well, what really caught my attention with this is this happens on May 25th, 2003. A plane goes missing. I mean, this is 2 years after September 11th, 2001, where I thought things are on lockdown. The U.S. government's watching and tracking everything. Airplanes don't just go missing, like they just don't disappear, or people don't just jump in them and take off and run. So that's what really struck me about this is this is 2003. I just wouldn't think it would be possible, but it's in Angola, it's in Africa, and it happens at an airport.
Yeah, we could attempt to say the name, but yeah, there's a chance we'll get it wrong.
It's the Quattro di Favero airport. Don't kill me for that one.
It probably is day, but yeah.
Yeah. And so this airplane's been, it was an American Airlines airplane, and then they sold it to the aerospace and leasing company, who then was leasing it out to Air Angola, who retrofitted it with fuel tanks. So they pretty much gutted the inside of the airplane, took out all the seats and passenger compartments and everything, and replaced it with huge fuel tanks. And this thing would run diesel fuel up for the diamond mining that was happening in the Ivory Coast. So this is a fuel transport plane that Air Angola was using. And they let it sit, like you said, for 14 months. And, you know, we might get some of this a little off, but any pilots out there know that you can't just fly a plane and land at an airport. There's landing fees. There's all kinds of fees and penalties and taxes for having an airplane at any airport. And you have to, it's money. This airplane's sitting stagnant. You can kind of just assume it's illegally parked. And it's racked up 30,000 pounds in fees and penalties.
That's right.
Mr. Ben Padilla is a mechanic, and they got to get this airplane flight ready so they can move it and stop racking up the fees and penalties and get it, you know, get it out of this airport and moved on, right?
Right. Some other things to know, the plane was built in 1975, and it was originally an American Airlines plane. Planes are valuable, and they stick around a long time. As long as they're maintained, they have a long life. A long service life. When it was gutted, they put in these 10 500-gallon tanks for the diesel fuel. While Padilla is there, he's supposedly hired another man, John Mutantu.
Yeah, Mutantu is close as I can assume.
And he's from, I believe, the Congo, mm-hmm. Republic of Congo. And I don't know, do you know how they know each other, or is this just...
I kind of just got the feeling that it was hired help. Ben is an American from Florida. I've seen different ages, 50, 51 years old, and he hired this other man to help him, or the company hired him to help Ben. Not really sure how that goes down, but
yeah, I think Ben did the hiring because aerospace gave Ben money.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ben can't just service the plane himself. He needs help. Now, Ben is a pilot, but they call him a bush pilot because he doesn't fly planes of this size.
Yeah, he's certified on smaller planes.
Right. So you can't say he's not a pilot. He is a pilot. But just as with anything else, there are different kinds of pilots. He's not there to fly the plane. He's there to get it flight ready.
And this plane is it's a 727-200 series. Besides the fuel tanks, how much fuel does this thing have, and like what's its stats?
It can hold, I think it's 9,800 gallons of fuel.
And the tail number on this plane was N844AA. It's sort of an ominous number now, I guess.
Yes, if you want to look up information on this, either look up the number for the plane. The tail number for the plane, or look up Ben Padilla, and you'll find what little there is. There doesn't seem to be a lot of information on it. Like Justin was saying, with it being a couple of years after 9/11, this plane, it loaded with all this fuel, is a threat. This obviously is going to set a lot of things in motion, a lot of concern, security concern around the world. So what happens that day?
Ben and his worker, they say that they're going to bring the plane out of the hangar and onto the runway and run the engines. And I guess this is a normal process just to make sure the engines are fully functional. It's kind of like putting a car on the rollers and driving it on the rollers just to make sure that everything's going all right. So they take it out to the runway, which is their normal plan, and the plane's maneuvering erratically. They turn off the transponders, they turn off the radio, and the plane taxis out to the runway and takes off and just flies away.
Yeah, they said before it actually even takes off that when it was taxiing, it was actually driving a little erratically.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes you wonder, is this because Ben's at the controls and he's struggling a little bit because he's not used to flying a plane that size? Or is there something going on at the time, on the plane? Is there a struggle or a threat? Could someone have been on that plane? They say that there was a man seen that day. So that's one of the mysteries. Is that the Mutantu guy? Because people have described him as looking Middle Eastern. But I wouldn't think someone from the Republic of Congo would look Middle Eastern to you.
No.
There could be a third person involved here is what we're saying. It's possible.
Yeah. So May 25th, 2003, 6 p.m., this plane takes off. Now, this third man or this other man is said to have purchased fuel. And they say that they loaded 14,000 gallons of fuel on this plane before it took off. That's a lot of fuel.
Yeah, and so if you take the 9 to 10,000 gallons of fuel somewhere in there that the plane can hold, and then you take the 5,000 gallons that these tanks on the inside can hold, that's where you get the 14,000 gallons. They obviously filled up even the diesel tanks with jet fuel.
So here we are. The plane takes off and it's never seen again, or it's missing now. The FBI, the CIA, all these different agencies are trying to track down this plane because, well, it could be used as a terrorist threat. It could be used for a lot of different reasons. The three theories that the American government are going with are, it was in poor condition, so the owners, which would be Aerospace, repossessed it so they didn't have to pay the penalties, or repossessed it for, whatever, insurance purposes. It was stolen to smuggle illegal goods. That could be fuel, could be diamonds, could be drugs. Or it was stolen for a terrorist threat or terrorist plot, which is very likely because 2 years earlier we saw that happen. So those are the three theories that the American government's going off of, is repossessed or smuggling or terrorist. We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, You have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles, and immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
So one of the things we should look at first when you're considering the different theories is we have to look at the man himself, Ben Padilla, or Ben Charles Padilla. What do we know about him? Because if we could learn something about him, maybe we can make a determination whether he would have knowingly been a part of such a plot to either steal or to turn this plane over to people who might use it as a weapon, or whether, even if he was on board that plane at the time, which is quite likely, that perhaps he was not a willing participant.
No, he's in his 50s. He's an American citizen. He has family. Right before the disappearance, he was informed that his mother had a heart attack, correct?
Yeah, they said it was a pretty serious heart attack and that he responded by email stating that he would, I think he even stated that he would be in touch the next day because he was concerned,
mm-hmm.
and that he never got back in touch with them after that. So from what I understand, his brother and his sister have gone on record to state that no matter where he was working, what he was doing, he always maintained a line of communication with them. And so for him just to disappear, it didn't make any sense because he was definitely the kind of person that stayed in touch with his family. They said he wouldn't just disappear by his own decision.
He's in touch with his family. We don't see a lot of motive here. Well, there is some motive. He could steal a plane and he could sell this plane. He could steal this plane and all this fuel and sell it and make a ton of money and disappear. But his family's looking for him. His family's concerned about him. So is it likely he stole this plane and took it for himself? I don't think so. It just doesn't seem like his pattern here. I mean, he's never had a criminal record. He's got a good paying job. He gets to travel the world. It sounds pretty cool to me. And his family's still looking for him. I can't get into this idea that he stole a plane.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he's going to make enough off this plane and not care enough about his family that he'll just take off and never be seen again. And if he did steal the plane for any purpose, whether it was for the company that owned it or for someone who didn't own it, who is stealing it illegally, then they would know where to find him if he ever went back to his family.
Yeah. And would he really steal it for his company? I mean, if his company hired him to repossess this plane, then there'd be no reason for him to disappear. Because he would just be, I mean, we're not going to extradite him back to, you know, Angola because he took off without tower clearance or whatever, you know.
And he didn't pay the fees.
Yeah, but that's the company. It's not him that didn't pay the fees, whether that be Air Gemini or Aerospace and Leasing. If the fees weren't paid, it's not on him. Now, he did do something illegal by taking off with the plane, but I just can't see a company pretty much telling this guy, hey, take off with this plane and fly back to Florida or wherever, you know.
But it's not American Airlines.
No.
So,
no.
The company could do something shady,
mm-hmm.
but I would think that there'd be a smarter way to have the plane meet a fate for insurance purposes rather than have it go missing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't know how that impacts the insurance. It's just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they had found an oil slick and found the tail somewhere, then they'd have something, but it's just missing. Yeah. So does that get covered?
Exactly. It's like your phone, your insurance on your phone or your car. If it goes missing, do you have full replacement coverage here? For all accounts and purposes, I couldn't find that they actually filed an insurance claim after it went missing. So, you know, I guess if you can't prove that it was wrecked, then how, you know, it just doesn't really add up. You think about the smuggling. Well, you know, if it was filled up with gasoline or fuel right before it was stolen, then I guess that would be, I guess it was paid for if the guy paid for the fuel, but they could be using it for other things. There was a decade of conflict in Africa over there for the blood diamond, the conflict diamond. So it's possible to be a smuggler's plane. That's a very likely situation, I think. There's a lot of different things there. But the smugglers would have been the mystery man that got on the plane. I mean, unless Ben's selling it to smugglers, then Ben's not in on this. So the smugglers must have been waiting on the plane or somewhere close to the plane when it took off so they could jump on and overpower Ben or tell him at gunpoint, take off, we're out of here.
Yeah, the civil aviation director for Angola had said that the plane had been grounded because there were a series of irregularities. I think the point here is that when you're in Africa, the regulations are not quite there as they are in the United States or most other first world countries. And so on this continent, there are a lot of places that are just, they're kind of lax. I'm sure they want money. So that's where the fees come in. I'm sure it's really just,
Wild West.
Yeah. So with it being grounded, it's not like they built a fence up around it. I mean,
no, and they can't because this mechanic's got to work on it and he's got to take it out and run the engines and stuff. So, you know, they have to allow some leniency there, regardless of the country that it's in.
Well, it's just strange to me that they have these fees and everything. And from what I understand, Padilla had let them know that the fees would be taken care of.
I think it was 30,000 pounds or closer to 50,000 US. That's not big money for this airplane. This airplane's a very nice airplane. It's considered a Cadillac of airplanes. Even if it's older, it's still a commodity. You know, if you took the fuel tanks out and put the seats back in, you got a passenger jet again. They could have been retrofitted back to, you know, an airline. What do you think of this terrorist plot?
Well, that's the one thing that seems least likely to me because it's never been used for that as far as we can tell. And I would think that if it was going to be used for that, they had already had it all fueled up and ready to go. So to me, that's the least likely scenario is that it was stolen for terrorism purposes.
I guess it's just how you define it. I mean, if it's going to be used like September 11th as a weapon to fly into something, then yeah, it would have been used for that already. But maybe it's being used to smuggle terrorists around. Maybe it's being used by the terrorists as transport. That I can buy that, but it's obviously hasn't been used in a terrorist plot by any means.
Well, like we said, it's a commodity. It's worth something. They were obviously getting it flight ready. And as we know, it actually successfully took off. This is where the question comes in, though. Could it have crashed sometime after it took off? Because you don't have, we don't have any evidence of a qualified pilot being on board. So we're going with, it seems as though people think that Padilla was at the controls. Now, I don't know where they get the idea that it was, other than they've described it as a white man. Maybe that's why they're saying he was at the controls. And if he was, could he have successfully flown this plane to wherever it was that he was supposedly headed?
You can drive a car. You can be licensed to drive a vehicle. But are you licensed as a truck driver? You know, do you have your CDL license? It's a whole different ball game. I mean, I could probably start a truck and move it forward. Now, could I drive that truck across country and back into parking spaces? No. So Ben was fluent enough with this airplane to pull it out onto the runway and run the engines. I think he could probably take off, but could he land it? Could he fly it? That's a whole different story. Taking off is probably not that hard, but everything else is. So is the mystery man flying it? Or is the mystery man got a gun to Ben's head and Ben did his best to take off and then crash? I mean, they say there was no oil slick or wreckage found, but if this went down in the ocean, kind of like the Malaysian flight, you know, are we going to find it? Are we going to know about it? Is there going to be evidence or wreckage? And this is off the coast of Africa, so how hard were they really looking?
Well, did the Malaysian flight, and didn't it end up on a landmass somewhere?
Wreckage from the Malaysian flight ended up in
Reunion Island.
But that could have been, it wrecked in the ocean, and the wreckage floated there.
Well, again, anytime someone says, well, we didn't see an oil slick, this plane is filled with a lot of fuel. But on the other hand, it's really heavy. We don't have any idea. When you're out there searching, you kind of have to know where to go because it's the ocean's a big place. You can't just say, well, we went over that way and we didn't see anything. You're not headed to a little suburb somewhere. It's just too vast to say that you know whether there was a crash there or not. Do they even know where they're looking?
No.
From what I understand, there were several places they had in mind where it could have gone. Maybe they were heading to Nigeria. That's one of the thoughts.
Yeah.
So how many planes were looking? I cannot imagine that you can state without any question, oh, well, there was no oil slick.
So it didn't wreck. Yeah. You can't.
I don't believe that for a moment. They could have easily crashed.
Yeah. If he wasn't certified to fly that plane, I don't know if he could have landed it. And if he was under duress or being forced to fly it by a mystery man, what if they tried to overpower him and it didn't go well and they crashed? And there's so many ocean currents and everything that even if they knew exactly where this plane crashed, they might not be able to find it. But there was an alleged spotting of this plane in July, 2 months after its disappearance. A Canadian pilot named Bob Strother spotted a plane in Guinea. He says it appeared to be resprayed and re-registered with a tail number of 3XGOM. But he said that the original AA, you know, the N844 AA, he said the AA was still visible on the tail. And he claims, this Canadian guy claims he saw the plane at an airport 2 months after the fact. Now, one, was he looking for this plane? You know, he alleges that he saw it, and there's no reason not to believe him. But at the same time, getting a plane re-registered takes a lot, take some political movement, take some time. Now, again, we're talking Angola and some of these other places where maybe if you bribe the right person, you can get some stuff changed. And that's a possibility. But this captain, this pilot says he saw the plane 2 months after its disappearance. Now, if that's truth, then I would be surprised if the FBI, Homeland Security, and everybody else didn't track this new tail number. And if me and you can find this tail number online, then I know the FBI and our American government definitely has this tail number and is looking for it, but it hasn't reappeared anywhere. So are they staying away from well-run airports, or are they sticking to, you know, Africa and in other places where it's not quite as structured, or they're not quite as diligent about tracking and tail numbers? I don't know.
They try to make a good case that that was the plane, but they don't have it. So to me, I'd say it's a good sighting. I think it's interesting, but to me, it's not definitive.
Again, if he saw it, I would assume that they would be able to track it, or they'd be looking for it now, and it would have popped up on the radar again.
But in Africa, I mean, that's what we keep coming back to is in Africa, it's not the same. It's not like there are people in Chicago looking, or the government's alerted LA. It's Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
who's really checking all of this information out?
And where's Ben? You know, Ben hasn't appeared on the radar either. So if the plane was stolen, then we're looking at what happened to Ben. Was he killed and disposed of? Because they're not going to take a captive here and keep him around long, because if these are terrorists or smugglers or shady people, you know, we kind of went through, we don't think it was an insurance fraud, could be a smuggling scheme, not really a terrorist plot, but you know, if anyone has seen the movie Blood Diamond, where Leonardo DiCaprio has a really bad accent, it's a decent movie, but it's about the conflict in Angola and Sierra Leone, where you had a huge civil war going on for almost a decade, and you had the RUF, who was like a rebel group fighting with government and the regular civilians. And this goes on, and it's pretty much funded by the diamond trade, the mining of diamonds. It is said that during this conflict, almost 20% of the world's diamond market was flooded with diamonds from Sierra Leone and Angola. During this conflict, it said 3 million people could have lost their lives. Now, the number's always going to be a little loose there, but 3 million people, you know, people don't hear about it, you know, when it happens in Africa, when 3 million people die. It's pretty sad that we don't think about that. We hear about a lion being shot, but, you know, 3 million people in Angola are murdered. The RUF had some really brutal tactics over there. They, once they tried to institute democracy and voting, the RUF would go into villages and chop off everybody's hands so they couldn't vote. They'd say, "You're keeping your hands out of government. We're the leaders here." So this is the type of people that are in Angola. This is vicious, no value for human life. And this was happening just years before this plane goes missing. I tell everybody, go out and watch the Blood Diamond Trade and Blood Diamond documentaries, or Conflict Diamond documentaries. It's sad and it's horrifying, but you need to watch it, because if you're going to buy your wife or, you know, your fiance an engagement ring, you really should know where this is coming from and what you're supporting. Just being that this is what's happening there, and this airplane was actually used for refueling for the diamond mines there during this whole conflict, it's not a big leap for me to think that there's some shady people there that felt like stealing a plane, and Ben just happened to be the innocent bystander who got in their way or was their ticket out of the airport. I don't think that's far-fetched at all. What do you think?
When it comes down to it, we don't know Ben, and we don't know his family. But when his family, both his brother and his sister, come out and say he wouldn't be gone this long without being in contact, that he was concerned about his mother who had a heart attack, that I lean towards he wouldn't have done something to remove himself from his family permanently, not on his own. So like you said, we don't have to know the other players either. There's already enough bad people around there. Who knows? Someone could have easily threatened him or put him in a bad position or possibly even killed him. And I would lean towards he has to be dead. You know, if his family said that he would stay in touch no matter where he was or what he was doing, are they really going to put on an act for years?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
They, even for years, I mean, like a decade later, they've been in contact with people. They're still concerned about their brother.
I agree. He doesn't have any signs or show any traits that he would do something like this. So I have to just side on it. The plane was hijacked or stolen, and he just happened to be on it when it went down.
When I was looking this up, and I believe this was a request, a listener request. So when I was looking at this over time, it started to dawn on me. This isn't really about a missing plane. It is early. Early on, this is all about the plane. Forget Ben Charles Padilla. He doesn't really matter at this point because you have a plane that's loaded with jet fuel. It would be an incredible weapon against a target in the United States or elsewhere. But now that it's 2015 and it's been gone 12 years, like I said, the terrorism angle doesn't strike me anymore.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Being used for illegal activities, I could see that. And what's one human life or two human lives when you're already breaking the law or murdering people anyway? So,
well, between the value of the plane and the value of the fuel on the plane, that's a lot of money.
Someone wrote an article in there, I think it was Tim Wright, and he was talking about how there's an area in Africa where men can break down a plane over a period of time. They can break down an entire plane.
Chop shop.
Yeah, it's a chop shop. And using axes, just using regular equipment, they can break it down piece by piece until it's completely gone and it's scrap.
Yeah, they can either just scrap the thing for scrap metal, or they could resell it for parts. There's lots of things they could do. Now, reselling it for parts is a little tricky because there are serial numbers everywhere because it's just FAA regulation. But if they're selling it to other third world countries and other places that just don't care, they can make some money off of this either way.
Right. So that's really the question to me is, once you have this idea that it's not a terrorist weapon anymore, then this is a case about a person. It's about Ben Padilla. I guess if you believe that he's capable of stealing the plane and selling it and then living a new life somewhere, stealing one plane and living a new life, it just doesn't strike me as being legitimate, being a real possibility. So once you get past that, as one of his family members said, who would want to keep him captive this long?
Yeah.
Even for 2 years.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. So it's quite obvious he's probably dead. He's deceased.
Yeah. I mean, even if he stole the plane, he would have to know somebody to sell it to. He would have to have all these connections. He'd have to be literally a criminal in the underworld over there in Africa, which doesn't appear that he is that.
Well, but some would point to the aircraft mechanic that he hired, John Mutantu, that maybe he has connections. He disappeared also. No one's seen him since.
Yeah.
So somewhere, if someone got to him and said, look, you're going to be doing this for us, or even if they were just already snuck aboard the plane and waiting on them, then one way or another, Ben is gone.
Yeah.
And not just missing, but he's, you know, if you look this up, he's considered unconfirmed survivor, but
yeah,
he's not shown up anywhere. Now you can hide a plane in plain sight in Africa, but hiding a person, I mean, I suppose if the person doesn't want to be found and they hide out in Africa, I can see that. But this is an American citizen. He's from Pensacola, Florida.
Yeah.
And he's already lived to be maybe 51. Why is he going to disappear now? And like I said, I just don't see that he would have enough money off of this to just retire and live the good life. Is that really worth losing all of his family?
No.
I feel like when his family has spoken, it just seems very sincere to me. So I know that's not scientific, but we don't really have anything on him, do we?
No, his brother has some forgery charges or convictions or something, but Ben has no criminal record whatsoever. And I hate even bringing up that about his brother because it's irrelevant to me.
Right. And it's so difficult to confirm or to find out information about people, especially when no one would have ever known who Ben Padilla was if this plane didn't go missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think other people have pointed this out. This case is interesting because in a lot of cases, we don't know why something happened. But in this case, we have a lot of reasons why it could have happened. So you could say it's for insurance purposes or for, you know, stealing the plane to turn it into scrap and sell that because you also have all that fuel. There's a lot of reasons for someone to want to take this thing and run off with it. And then you have the company that owned it who'd had other deals fall through with other companies where they were supposed to lease it from them and then just they didn't pay them.
Yeah.
Where was the breaking point on this? I mean, if the original company really wanted to steal it and get away with not paying the fees, where is it now? I didn't find anything about claiming insurance on this, and you'd think that would be part of the part of the story.
Yeah, it would be part of the story, definitely.
Yeah, people would have jumped all over it if the company had, you know, oh, we're filing for the insurance on this thing. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm just saying it's not been a part of the storyline at all.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a plane. It sat around for 14 months. If you own a plane that can make you money and it's sitting for 14 months, where's the breaking point? Yeah. Now, obviously, he had some people working on it along with some Angolan mechanics trying to get this plane ready to go. If they were going to pay the fees, were they waiting to pay the fees the next day before they took off? That's the story.
Yeah.
But is it really true? And we have no way of verifying because they didn't have to pay anything because there's no plane there. Or do they have to pay the fees? I mean, if you've already accrued those fees and you own the plane that was sitting there, is that where it's sort of in a gray zone because some other company had been leasing it? But if they didn't pay,
could they take off without paying their bill? Could they leave?
Or, yeah. Or why would you leave a plane there that's valuable to you that you're not making any money on and someone else was supposed to pay you for the time they've leased it, but they're not paying you? Now you can see where there are people out there that believe the the owner, the aerospace and leasing company, why they would want to steal the plane.
It makes sense. If I could get a boot off a car, I would without paying.
Now, they've not found it, but I'm not sure that anybody's really looking for this plane anymore. That scary time where all the countries were alerted and thinking about this plane, that time has passed. I don't think they're concerned anymore.
It's not on high alert, high on anyone's radar.
So we could probably agree that no one's really looking anymore. So this plane could come and go with its new tail number, what have you, and no one would be the wiser. And well, better than that, no one would care. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.